remarkable story also from how one woman got to a certain place to another, because in 2012, having been lost for over 500 years, the remains of one of the most controversial kings in England's history, King Richard III, you may remember this, were discovered beneath a car park in Leicester. Well, how does a woman relate to this? The search had been orchestrated by an amateur historian, Philippa Langley. Her unrelenting research had been met with incomprehension, I think it's safe to say, by her friends and family. And there was also scepticism by experts and academics. Coming out later this week is a new film which tells her story at the heart of this story called The Lost King, a story of a woman who refused to be ignored and took on some of the most eminent historians. It's co-written by Steve Coogan and Jeff Pope. You may remember they wrote the award-winning Philomena, another biographical film about a woman's unheard story in her search, but for her son. Let's talk to the woman at the heart of this, the film's inspiration, historian and researcher, Philippa Langley. Good morning.
Morning, Emma.
Thank you for being with us today. Because for you, I mean, Richard III, he died at the Battle of Bosworth Field. You found his bodily remains in 2012. He died in 1485, buried under a car park in Leicester. Your research led to that discovery. And you've been doing this research for over 7 years. And you weren't, as I understand it, a historian at the time.
No, I wasn't. I'd been working in sort of marketing and advertising. But I read a book about Richard III by an American academic. And it fascinated me that the story that I could see of the historical Richard was a 180 from the Shakespeare's Richard, because the academic had looked into the contemporary source materials from Richard's own lifetime and found a very different man to the man that we see in Shakespeare.
What had got you so interested in him? What was it about him?
I think it was this juxtaposition of Shakespeare's story with the historical story, and that it was so poles apart, because Shakespeare's story is so powerful. It's such an incredible dramatic narrative that it's part of our psyche now, that this is who we think this man was. But when you actually investigate the contemporary source materials from his own lifetime, there is overwhelming evidence to see a man who was loyal, brave, devout, and just. And this is not to make him a saint.
No, no.
But it's just to show
there's a difference.
Different individual there.
And there are many around the world who share your interest and shared your interest and felt the same. But there's one thing to take an interest and read a few books, and there's another thing to going to thinking you can find his remains somewhere different to where other people think they are, because you put it together and it ends up being below a car park. Why did you end up wanting to try and find him?
It started in quite an unconventional way, because I was interested in Richard's life. But I visited the Greyfriars Precinct area in Leicester, which is would have held the church where we thought Richard was buried, and went into this particular car park, the northern end of this car park, and I had an intuitive experience in this area of the car park where I felt I was walking on Richard's grave.
Really?
Yeah, so I couldn't explain that, but then the following year I went back to the car park because I wanted to see if what I'd felt was real.
Right.
And had the same experience in the same place, northern end of this car park. And then there was a letter R on the tarmac, clearly for reserved parking.
Yes, but not for here lies yeah. Richard III.
No, and it was that experience that changed my research focus, that I started looking into his death and his burial.
And the Queen, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, she spoke to you about this, didn't she?
It was one of her private secretaries from her office, because I'd sent her all of the documents, the project documents for the Looking for Richard project. And so they called to say that the Queen had given the project her blessing because of the respectful way in which it was being undertaken. Because part of my research in going in search of Richard, you know, you've got to think, OK, what do we do if we find what we're going in search of? So very kindly, the Commonwealth War Graves Commission had shared with me very confidentially all of their processes for when they find the fallen on the battlefield, because obviously Richard had fallen on the battlefield as well. So we'd put that into the project's documents. And I think that was a huge moment for me, because for the Queen to give me her blessing, it was another moment where I felt that, you know, it made me want to do this search and to continue.
What was it like, the actual moment that the remains were discovered for you?
Yeah, for me, that was a huge moment, because I'd spent all of these years researching Richard III, and we have all of these descriptions of Richard from his own lifetime, where nobody mentions anything, you know, abnormal. A couple of them say that he was short of stature, but there's nothing, you know, about any physical abnormality. However, when he died, there was a Warwickshire priest who said that he had one shoulder higher than the other, but he left a gap in his writing to fill in which shoulder was the higher one. So we discussed this, because in the Richard III Society, you know, we research and reassess Richard III. That's what we do. That's why we exist. And we'd sort of come to the conclusion that it was like the bowmen at Towton Battlefield, that whichever side they drew the bow on, they could see from their skeletal remains that they were heavily muscled and heavy developed on one particular side of their body. So we presumed that this is what had happened to Richard. He was potentially right-handed with his sword, and this is why he had one shoulder higher than the other.
But I sort of meant actually the fact that you were vindicated, you know, that he was found. And I imagine for some of your friends and family, your nearest and dearest, could have just thought, what is she doing during this time?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of my sons, you know, did say to me, why are you doing this, mummy? You know, you're going a long way away, and what happened if you don't find anything? And I was very clear, whether I found anything or not, it would give us a huge amount of information. It would move our research forward.
What did that son say when you said, actually, mummy did go and find the king?
Well, they call me King Finder when I got
cool.
home.
Cool. That's way cooler than mum. That's way cooler. I mean, I'd take that. Coming to away from the story itself, although this is obviously very linked, there's now this film. And there has been criticism of the film from the University of Leicester about how their involvement in the dig is represented in the film. And they say, just to quote part of the statement, and I want to give you the chance to reply, because we've heard a lot from Steve Coogan and the like, but we haven't heard that much from you. And this is Woman's Hour, and you're the woman at the heart of this story. We appreciate that while The Lost King is based on real events, it's a work of fiction, and recollections will vary from various people of what happened during such an incredibly exciting moment in history. It is our view that the portrayal of the University of Leicester's role in the project is far removed from the accurate work that took place. What do you make of that?
Well, I've spent 8 years working with the filmmakers who've been researching and developing this story. And it is my story, and it's based on documented materials, on original materials, and on eyewitness testimony. So everything you see in the film is fully supported.
The other element which I thought was could be particularly of interest to our listeners was that the former deputy registrar of the university has told the BBC that the changes in the film are designed to create an artificial narrative of a sexist, male-dominated university seeking to betray this lone female heroine. Only way for filmmakers to do this is by artificially removing all key female academic leads from the story. Did that happen?
No, not at all. Our story is my story. So the story finishes with the discovery of Richard. We don't go into the DNA and all of that. So it's a very particular moment that we look at in the film. So no, we certainly didn't do that. And I wouldn't want to have been a part of that story if we did do it. But, you know, to give you some idea of, you know, I was in Leicester a day or two ago and giving a talk there. And I met Sir Peter Soulsby, who's the mayor of Leicester, who is the head of Leicester City Council, who's the landowner, who gave me personal permission to dig the car park. And, you know, he said to me, and it's my position as well, he said, I just don't understand, Philippa, what the university is doing. And he said, you know, in 2012, 2013, they acted in a certain way. And he said, I felt that they might have moved on from that. But he said they haven't. And even though, you know, the vice chancellors have changed, the culture at the university is exactly the same. And he absolutely doesn't understand it. And neither do I, because it's really, you know, this is a huge situation here, because this is a very powerful institution that is a seat of learning and education. So if they're giving out a story that is demonstrably untrue and factually untrue, then it means that we need to ask huge questions about this, because a lot of people believe what they say on face value. You know, they don't read my books, and they don't look into my, you know, I've put original materials up on my website. So they believe that this is true.
Well, that's why I wanted to give you the opportunity to reply, because there have been these reports over the last few days and weeks, and the film is about to come out. Sally Hawkins is playing you in the film, at which I imagine is also quite the experience for you.
Yeah, for sure. When they told me that Sally Hawkins was coming on board, that was a huge moment for me, because she's the most incredible actress. And I just thought, if someone of her caliber was interested in my story, that was remarkable for me. That was a big moment.
Philippa Langley, thank you for talking to us this morning. The film's called The Lost King, coming out later this week. And it's good to hear your voice on that, the experience of that, you know, King Finder, King Maker, the names that you now have from the family, and also about what it's been like to respond to some of those stories around the film and how the story has been told. Philippa Langley there, thank you. And thank you.